Sister McGuire, I don't have my evangelistic book. Did you remember to bring it? Oh, how many of y'all were here last night? I knew you was in. There we go. I get to practice being an evangelist. My book? After service? No. Last night we had a chance to fellowship, and the book is an awesome book. How many of y'all, The Five Love Languages? Ever seen it, heard it, read it, have it. If you don't have it, get it. We have them for $10. Easy read and fun to read. Because I didn't think they had enough pictures in it, my wife read it to me. A long time ago, but it's an easy read. It's a fun read, and there's a quiz in the back, amen? You'll hear more about the book in just a minute. If you were here last night, I cannot top Sister McGuire's. But little did we know we had the same notes, amen, on two different days. While she was doing her message last night, a few people in the group knew what I had already discussed because they helped me with the PowerPoints and they helped me practice and helped me warm up and helped me pray. And they was going, ooh, she's teaching your message. But it was a part of my message. If you do not know how you love, it is very important. Because it's also how you want to receive love. And if you haven't figured about what my message is it's going to be about love. One of the last times I taught this message, a rumor had it I was backslid. So I don't know how this was going to go. But when we finish, I would hope that you would love one another. Amen? As Christ loved the church. I was probably 3 months ago getting ready for church. And God is love came in my mind. And I thought about it for a long time, and I was always perplexed by it. When I got the Holy Ghost, I was 25 years old, and I heard men saying in prayer in the men's room, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Anybody know that phrase in church? I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. And it seems like as fast as you could say it, you could almost run off into talking in tongues. Like, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I couldn't say it. I felt it and I wanted to say it, but I could not say it. At 25 years old, coming out of the world, I love you, anything was really hard to say. But as I matured in the Holy Ghost, it just kind of came. Because God showed me his love back. But if I were to describe it to you, it's kind of like flying in an airplane. I don't think I still can. Because he's never stopped loving me. I think if he would ever stop loving me, then maybe I could put some definition to it. But his love, he's been loving me for 25 years. Some of you have been loving you for longer than that. And expressing his love back to me. And I wondered at times, how do I relate back to Jesus? In about 3 months ago, like I said, it hit me and I couldn't finish it. And I went back to the book. Because it ministered to me at the time, my wife and I were newlyweds for the most part when she read the book to me. Some of you might be newlyweds under the sound of my voice, and some of you may not. Some of you may be veterans. But if you can, bear with me. Amen? How many of y'all like talking about love? Two men. All the rest were women. That's all right, Brother Troy. You with me. Men, a little difficult, but hang in there. Maybe we learn something together. You could be quiet if you want to, but I might need some help with some hands raised. Physical touch. It is that touch that's could be a cuddle. I was trying to do this in Keith James' version because I don't want to be inappropriate, but some people... maybe in the sound of my voice, maybe find a cuddle's not even affectionate. You want more than a cuddle. You want a two-arm hug. How many of y'all like one-arm hugs? Most men do. Men do not like two-arm hugs. Most women like two-arm hugs. But a cuddle, a hug, a child that would run up to you and sit upon your lap. Okay? Now, when I love to teach, I want to teach both sides of the coins as much as possible because physical touch can also be bad because you can touch. If you love to touch, you got to watch how you touch because you can touch inappropriate. In this day and time, pastors, because I'm a toucher, he and I had conversations, and I'm not embarrassed to say, be careful how you touch, because you never know who is touched inappropriately. And you'll offend them in church. In the altar call, you could touch somebody wrong and don't mean it at all. This day and time, but how many of y'all grew up with loving parents? Can I see your hands? It's all right. You love your parents and they loved you. They probably cuddled you. They probably touched you and you liked that. And if they didn't, you didn't like it. Right? And before you could talk, you probably went back to touch them. You were too little to know, but you got their attention with a touch. If you weren't crying, amen? That was the words of affirmation. Our next one. How many of y'all need words of affirmation? You're not ashamed of it. It's okay, guys. You don't need to. Attaboy was the first one I liked. That, you know, attaboy. I remember that one. Words of affirmation. Makes you feel real good. You did a good job. You mean so much to me. We can't do this without you. Some form of encouragement. Makes you feel real good. Well, they love me. They miss me. They need me. Boy, when I'm around them, they make me feel so good. And at the same time, do you give it back? Maybe you just like to receive that one. I don't know. It's kind of hard. I try to accolade on my job, and most of the time the employees could see right through it. Work is not always the greatest place. You're just saying that because we met our numbers. Yes, I am. Because when I go in my office, my boss is going to say, good job. And I'm going to go say, just because we met the numbers. And he goes, says, yes, we did. But to hear it, it just sounds good, doesn't it? Third one, quality time. To sit, to talk, to do things with others. You might even have to be there and listen. Some of us are great listeners. Some of us are not. Some of us are great talkers. Some of us are not. Some of us like to spend time together with one another. Some of us don't. How many of you are not ashamed to say you like to be alone? Say amen. People invading your quality time? Just get on your last nerve. But it's important because some people, I went through the spectrum of the adult class. I don't know because I didn't study this in depth. But from the age group in here, some of us, all we can do now is sit and talk. Ease that one in, like Brother Chris said, that we lather it, then we'll shave it. But some of us, just that's what we do. We sit and talk. We need coffee to keep sitting and talking, because if not, we done bent over, gone. But if someone could go visit you when you can't do, that's a sign that they love you, amen? Not everybody can keep on running. Brother Brown just told me I'm getting old because he's seen me limping. I might be sitting and talking sooner than I want to. Acts of service. Doing tasks for others when you know they need it. How many of y'all like to do those things? That's probably one of my primary. You don't have to ask if I see the need. Some get offended, however. You love them too much. Don't come clean. Don't come do around my house. I like it this way. Who they think they are. Uh-oh, got an amen in this corner. But don't come bless me like that. That's my business. And you did it with a big heart. You had good intentions. Some don't. Some are nosy. We know all of these things, but I'm trying to focus on the love part here. Just the love part. Wow, it could lend a helping hand. And it's above and beyond what we would think on a regular basis, amen? It's above and beyond, not just because you're a nice person. Because scriptures teach us that the world loves each other like that too. This is not Holy Ghost right now. Y'all with me? The world does this. The world can be nice to one another, amen? They can be nice to us and we can be nice to them. Giving of gifts. Gift givers always seem to hit the holidays, amen? But a real person that loves to give gifts, gives besides those holidays too. And if you're a genuine gift giver, you don't miss holidays. That's not on your radar to miss a holiday. Because you like getting gifts back. Now, I like to give gifts. I don't know which one of them. Maybe we'll do some hand raising here. But this one, I give gifts a lot. I'm not the biggest gift giver there is, because I like to do more. My gift giving range would be like, hey, y'all want to go to Dollar Tree? Are y'all sure y'all don't want to go back in twice? I got enough money. Meanwhile, some gift givers, man, they bring the most expensive. This is going to make the biggest impression. I'm going to show all my love. I'm going to go borrow some money from the bank to do it. Because they love so much. That is not mine. Might be one of yours, and that's all right. But don't expect everybody to do that back for you. But boy, that would be nice, wouldn't it? And I kept thinking, I was like, I wonder how these people come up with such conclusions. I don't like to think much about how others think, because I get my feelings hurt. I don't dwell on it. Sister Ashley went to school for thinking how people think. I used to ask her questions, so what does that mean? And she would just giggle because she knew I couldn't take the answer. But in my mind, I kind of envisioned, maybe, you know, they probably had a doctor doing studies on the love language, and he had his patient on the bed. So what is your real problem? Well, they didn't give me anything for my birthday. And I'm really upset. Nobody ever thinks to me when I stay up all day and all night taking care of their business for them. And I went out of my way to do some things in the middle. You know where I'm going? Before the visit was over, it was probably, and nobody loves me. Doctor probably made a little mental note right there. No physical touch. Drives him crazy. No words of affirmation. It's probably really easy when you think about it, right? Y'all laughing like some of y'all paid $150 for that. Got it for free this morning, amen. But that's the best I could put, because I don't, when things are going good, you don't know how good you're doing. When you're living for God and God's moving in your life and you don't stop. And thank Him, because things are really going good. I told Brother Jared I was going real good here lately. And just recently, I got tripped running wide open. Something when somebody pushes you over and you're standing still, but when you're running wide open, you get, whoo. And you look around and it's the same people. And everybody's loving you. And now you got to look in discernment. Who did that? I want to show you my love. When you're running wide open, I'm going to trip you back. That's not the love of God, amen? On my job, I get beat down, but it's kind of a neutral place for me. How many of you like your jobs that's still working? Forgot what class I was in. How many of y'all liked y'all jobs before y'all quit working in this class? Probably more appropriate. When we find a place that we love, I really like my job. I do have some solitude. Sometimes you guys call me and I have to run inside and hide in metal buildings and talk on the phone and hope I don't drop reception. But I love it. It's long hours. It pays the bills, and I love it because I think God put me there for now. I don't know where I'll retire from, but that's where I'm supposed to be at for now, and I love it. And in these times when I'm trying to demonstrate the love of God on my job, I don't get the feedback, Pastor. I don't have a disconnect, but it didn't come back and forth like I think. Y'all have that problem? Just when you think, oh, like I said, everything is going good, and 2, 3, 4 people get fired in the plant, and then you go, whoa, what happened? Am I next? You come in a house that you thought was in order, and everything was just wonderful and sweet and fine, and you're the baby of the family. You walk into the house and come in the room. Hey, man, when I left this morning, this was just like a beautiful place to be, and now it's not. What happened while I was gone? Everybody's in an uproar. Everybody's in a stink. Stay with me. In the Greek, it was a 4-letter word. In English, we use as love. In studying, when you can, take the time, and it's fun as an adult class. In the Greek, we're going to touch some of this stuff. But let's go in the Bible first and read in 1 John. chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now you go explain that to somebody in the world, I promise you, it's hard enough when we got the Holy Ghost to go, yes, Brother Keith. When I give you this mic, tell me what you mean. Well, it's obvious God is love. Well, God is much more than the four-letter word. In English, we use it as a term to express ourselves, but what do we really express? And hopefully we can get there in just a little bit because I have the time. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, and how about it? Faith, hope, charity. Of these three, the greatest of these is charity. Charity is also definition of love. I want to take my time because I got it, but I do want to hope and believe. Before I leave, Brother Cron and I were talking. Somebody in the sound of my voice, and I know it because it's not just for me, because I'm ministering to myself when I teach about love. But don't leave here without love. Is that okay? Because we're going to have a great second service. I got the Holy Ghost in Sunday school, so it's okay. If you want to pray through right now, this is where I did it, in an environment just like this. Amen. Greek words for love, there's several, as much as 8 and 9. I like 7 because I just like the number 7 because I thought it'd be complete. I've often been taught 2 and sometimes 4, but this time I took a step and went for 7. Eros. That's the one that's sexual. This is the one that can send you to hell when you abuse it. That is also the name of a god, a Greek god of fertility. If this love was used out of its term, it could be very bad for you to go to hell. That's what it said in Corinthians when I looked it up. That is the one I think that gets us most in trouble. But what if, and again, I don't want to play too much head games, but what if you're the person that's expressing your love and you, that's what you mean to somebody that's not your husband or wife? Y'all with me? Say amen. We let it soak in there just for a little bit. Sister McGuire called it last night bedroom stuff. So if y'all into that bedroom stuff, that's what we're going to stop in here today. I was wondering where the margin was in class today. Sister McGuire calls it bedroom stuff. Okay? Felucia is as close as Cajun as I could get to Greek. It is the love of yourself. Now, this, again, mind you, I didn't want to fill this class up with scriptures. Go behind me. Most of you guys in here can read it right, and some of you are savvy enough that it doesn't take long. This one was lovers of themselves. Scripture teaches, be careful. Be careful, because in end times, we're going to love ourselves more than not. But how could you express and wrap it up and all? God likes you to love yourself. God likes up head. That's not so much God. You can't do too much. God likes that. I'm proud of myself. I've been doing this for 25 years now. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 25 years old. I got a little self. I love myself just a little bit. Not an ungodly. I'm not selfish about my love. I don't wear it out. But however, on the other side of the coin, let's be careful. Because when we're loving ourselves so much, I don't know how we can love God. Philia. This is the one that we've all heard probably once or twice, and philia is the feminine. That's the kind of love that you would have in a friendship. Amen? I'm looking for a man that I could get away with this. I never seen no man looking back at me like, don't you tell me you love me in front of all these people. I know everybody always used pastor, but I'm looking at the men, Sister McGuire. Look at all them red faces out there. Don't you do it, Brother Keith. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Doesn't it feel weird to say that? And sisters, praise the Lord, girl, I love you. Like you don't even mean, just say it. Praise the Lord, brother. Love you. Maybe on the phone. in person if you heard it. What does it sound like? But that was the way Greek people termed it, defined the love of God. That it is okay. I guess I could, I filio you, Brother Hernandez. That's how Greek people spoke, and that's what it meant. It wasn't the erotic love. It wasn't the self-love. It was the love for a brother. It was the love brothers shared with one another. It was David and Jonathan love when I studied. Y'all remember that? Okay. Ludus is that flirty kind of love, the cheerful little playful love. Could be dangerous, but not like the first one, Eros. It's not that one at all. Kind of more like being sweet on somebody. No intentions, just expressing yourself above and beyond that friendship love, but the mere little flirty love. Apostolic people don't like that one at all. Don't go to hell for that. Because it could be right in there and you touch inappropriate and you're flirty. So when you're balancing God's love, it takes some skill, but do you think you go to hell for all of them? Just planting seeds as we go along, amen? Pragma is in a mature form of love. The Crons have pragma. The Browns have pragma. 33% of people getting married now don't last 10 years. That love was never, that it never developed. It just is not there. That form of God's love, is just they never arrive to make it. Is 10 years the number? I don't know. If I could write it down, I would. And I tell you, if you guys that just got married can make it 10 years, you're going to be the Browns and live happily ever after. It's a form of God's love, and it's something we got to work on. Amen? It's a mature form of love. Storge. Close as I got last night. I tried and tried and tried. That's the love of a family. That's the kind of love that I try to teach my kids, and you probably teach your kids if you were probably raised like I was raised. You could talk about your brother and sister kind of love, but nobody else could. Don't talk about my mama like that. Can't promise you you're going to make it home. You keep talking about my mama like that. You just wait till my brother finds out what you said about my mama, too. You wait till my sister, because my sister don't play. She's going to jump all over you talking about my mama like that. Right here, right now, in the skirt, barefooted, and whoop you right here, right now. It's the family love that we have for our families. If God could have given you a better mom and dad, he would have. Brother Keith, you don't know mom and dad. You don't know my mom and dad either. My mom got the Holy Ghost in her 40s. My dad got the Holy Ghost in the nursing home. My dad put me out in the house when I got the Holy Ghost. Told me never come back to his house. And at the time it hurt, but you know he loved me when he put me out the house. He just didn't understand. He didn't put me out the house because he thought I was wicked. He couldn't believe I went to another religion, Brother McGuire. Took a long time for me to figure that out because that's how God loves works. But the love that God poured in me converted my daddy in a nursing home. My daddy got baptized in Jesus' name with Parkinson's disease. My daddy spoke in other tongues. When he came out of the water, as the Spirit gave utterance. Can it happen to you? It happened to me. Because I loved God, I held it against him for a while. But in his defense, on the other side of the coin, he loved me. Amen? In the family of God, that love that I just described is what generates love for one another in this kingdom. The way you love one another in here under the sound of my voice, sometimes we probably just act like if we was one big family. How many of y'all don't want Pastor to know or Sister McGuire to know? Just like you did your mom and dad. Oh, don't tell. Don't. Come here, I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you. Don't let Daddy hear. How many of you come to the run for the rescue when you see your brother and sister down, just like you would your own family member? How many of you need to be told to do something for somebody in church and you already know? It just comes natural. That's love of God. Some of us wonder what it would feel like to be blessed. Are you blessing somebody? Remember, do we need to lay you on the floor and figure you out? Once that foot started kicking, we'd probably get an idea, Brother McGuire. Well, nobody appreciates me in the church because... No, they never tell me thank you. Something that simple. That's family love of God. Amen? Last, and of course, but not least, I saved agape love. By definition, it's almost like an empathy. That's why God has feelings for everybody. God does not discriminate whatsoever. Whatsoever. We put up walls in our love that God's always having to break down and crush. When you got the Holy Ghost, did you care? Just think about it. Some of us, it's been a while. When I got the Holy Ghost, I remember before getting the Holy Ghost, being in a very weird church service. I'll let that soak in for a little bit. But it was the love of my mom that got me to the church service. It was my mom that, please come to church with me. I don't care what you look like. I don't care where you just came from. And I'd been gone for 3 days. I came in like a wet dog. Run up in the yard, laid up in the front door. That's how she found me. In my house. In my mom's house. Begged me. King James Version calls it compel. She begged me to go to church with her. In love. Gets me to church. I'm sitting in an environment just like you guys are right now. And I couldn't take it. Because the love of her family at the church was poured out on me. While I was sitting in Sunday school, I did not know she had a family that large and loved her that much. It's that feeling we get as parents and when we bring our children to church at a loss. That didn't want to walk the walk we chose for them. It's that love that when we feel, when you see a friend of yours in church bringing somebody that they've been talking about, man, I'm going to bring them to church. And you know what that means to them. To have that person sitting in church with them. When nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles and neighbors and kids from school come in sitting here with you. That love was in that church, y'all. I got the Holy Ghost sitting in the church. Pew. Doing Sunday school. I didn't know what happened to me. I slid up under the pew. Because when I started to break down, I thought for sure it was all the things I had took for 3 days catching up with me, Brother Billy. It's like, whoa, this is really weird service. Couldn't put all the thoughts together. Couldn't understand what was happening right before my eyes. I remember standing up in love. Everybody was worshiping because they loved God. And I stood up, and I remember never raising my hands before church. I was raised this way. Try to get better when I teach Sunday school not to call other denominations out. And we did this. And I remember raising my hands up. Had no idea what that felt like ever, guys, honest, in a church. I remember that. And I didn't want to put them down because I felt God's love pouring down on me. And I remember having stammering lips for the first time. Because God's love was pouring in me. It was coming fast as I could take it. And Brother Hernandez, French people, black people, white people, yellow people, the church was, they all had white shirts on, though. And they were long sleeves. And I remember melting, because when I looked around and saw these people, it didn't matter. I remember the guys my mom used to send knock on my door. And I looked through the mini blind. Remember when the mini blinds first came out? The more crackety and raggedy ones didn't last long. And that was that man had knocked my doors, I don't know how many times. I never let him in. He had his hand on my back. And he was just doing the crazy Holy Ghost dance. I'm like, dude, get your hands off me. I didn't need touch. It wasn't one of my languages. Still don't need touch. But he was touching me. And he loved to touch me. He would do, Keith, you got it. You got it. And I'm like, he knows my name from reading them cards. Never talked to him before. Knew my name from reading that card, had my address on his card. When we take time to come together and to minister to one another, the love of God, God is love. We are all Holy Ghost filled in here with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We are God. Here I go, about to get in trouble again. According to Scripture, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, God is in you. We're that part of God's body that when we all come together, when people are going to come in this church, they're going to see God. I don't know what part of the body you represent today, but when we all come together, people are going to see God in here. They're going to bond with someone when they look at you in the eyes, and they're going to see you for the first time, and they're going to be attracted to you. When you're going to go and shake their hand for the first time and touch them, you're going to say, it was good to see you come back again. We really are encouraged to have you here. Thank God you're here. What can we do for you? All those things, the signs of the love language when I started, all those things come out of your mouth naturally when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. If you can envision and just believe for me for just 1 second that if God is love, and it's he that is with you is greater than he that's in this world. That's the love that conquereth all. That's the love that can hold you to stand and watch God do something. That's the kind of love that God would portray in the man and the woman that would be dedicated to him. I've been doing this for 20 plus years now, but 27. I can't do my math right now. 27, 28 years. When I was a young man, we had already went to that place on Saturday night. So Sunday we could go fishing. And my daddy loved to go fishing. I have been fishing in the rain, in the lightning, in the thunder, in ice on the boat. And I was just thinking he raised me that way. It's still in me. But when I received this love, it was way more than fishing. I still fish. I put my pole down. I pick my Bible up. That was my thing. I have raised my family in church. And I would want to believe that the seeds that were planted in me by my pastor that are passed down into my generation, that I would want to think forever and ever, my kids would want to be experienced love at least once to twice a week. This kind of love. Because out there, there is no love greater than this. In here, we can say he that is in me is greater than he that's out that wall. When we take the time, as I close, to discover that God is love, do remember, if God would be in you, you have all the gifts that God would have for us. You have all the discernments, the tongues and interpretation, the healing. You are fully equipped. All is within this package. All is to be demonstrated in love. If you would, let's stand as we close. Somebody under the sound of my voice, and I'm not doing an altar call, we'll save it for the next service. I would want you to remember, no matter what your age is, because I wanted to go and question people and find out what's important. But in prayer, I found out it's all important. It's all equal. No matter your age, if you're the oldest one in the building, you want to be loved in here just as much as the youngest one. If you're married, you want to be loved as much as someone that's single. If you're single, you want to be married and you just want somebody to share love with. If you're brokenhearted and down and out, you want somebody to come to you and rush you with love. Amen. If you had a bad night last night, you came here to get some love. That Holy Ghost that you're going to feel in here is love poured out on us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the love of glory.